This episode is brought to you by Odd Mo's Pizza in Canby. Handmade awesome pizza plus craft beer, cider, and wine delivered. Call them today at 503-266-8444.
Welcome to Now Hear This, Canby.
Your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans. And its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
And if it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
The Canby School District shared its long-awaited start date for reopening classrooms to the youngest elementary students, and it's several weeks later than the officials had initially hoped. The district had previously set the ambitious goal of returning to a hybrid in-person learning model for kindergarten through third grade students the week of February 8th. In an email late Friday, Superintendent Trip Goodall said the return will actually happen March 1st, barely 1 week shy of a year since the onset of the pandemic closed schools statewide. Students in grade 4 through 6 may start hybrid in-person learning beginning March 8th, Goodall said, while the option will be extended to grades 7 through 12 beginning March 29th, as long as the advisory metrics for reopening continue their downward trend. District officials will continue to monitor coronavirus metrics throughout the reopening to demonstrate having our schools open does not contribute to transmission of COVID-19, the superintendent said. Our district and school leadership teams have been working toward reopening and still have many tasks ahead to complete in order for everyone to return to school safely, Goodall said. There are more than 160 health and safety protocols that must be followed once school reopens. While we've had to push our timeline out a few weeks, we are committed to what's best for our students for the remaining 4.5 months of the school year. Middle and high school administrators are looking at ways to bring small groups of students back prior to March 29th for limited in-person instructional opportunities, Goodall added. We know how important it is to return students to in-person learning, he said. Mounting evidence shows that transmission of COVID-19 in schools is low if all safety precautions are followed. Parents will receive additional information about schedules, transportation, meal options, and health and safety protocols before in-person learning begins. Families will have the option of remaining in the connected at-home learning model for the Canby Online Learning Academy. District staff is being allocated to support all three learning models, Goodall said, with the goal of providing families the opportunity to select the program they feel is right for their child. The Canby City Council, in its role as the Urban Renewal Agency, will on Wednesday consider awarding a contract for the construction of railroad quiet zone improvements at 3 downtown Canby intersections, as well as the construction of a gateway arch over North Grant Street. The complicated project, involving coordination not only with the City of Canby, but also the Oregon Department of Transportation, which has jurisdiction over Highway 99 East, and Union Pacific Railroad, among others, was previously advertised in March 2020, but attracted only a single bid that came in almost 50% higher than estimates. City leaders decided to rebid the project this winter in the hopes that it would be more competitive, and that appears to have been a shrewd move. The new letting yielded 8 competitive bids for the project, ranging from just shy of $800,000 to slightly more than $1 million. The low bid from Battleground, Washington-based Lee Contractors came in at $791,521, approximately $130,000 below estimates. City staff deemed the bid responsive and recommended that the award go to them. The decision ultimately lies with the Urban Renewal Agency. The arch was initially pitched as one part of the city's plan for economic revitalization, an enticing tool to draw folks off of Highway 99 East and into the heart of historic downtown Canby. And that will certainly be needed in the months ahead. The long-debated Quiet Zone project has also been positioned as an economic development tool to enhance the livability of downtown Canby for residents, business owners, diners, and other visitors. It would make it so train engineers are no longer required to sound their horns as they pass the three intersections in downtown Canby, though they would still whistle if a car or pedestrian were in the crossing or to alert people of other emergency situations. The Quiet Zone designation, which had to be approved by Union Pacific Railroad and other authorities, including ODOT, comes part and parcel with a number of safety improvements at the three intersections, such as concrete medians designed to prevent cars from driving around the arms of the railroad gates. The project's costs have been a bit of a moving target. The Quiet Zone was most recently budgeted at $1.4 million, including design, fees, and construction, but those estimates have continued to rise due to additional safety requirements and changing Federal Railroad Administration regulations. In addition to the design and construction cost, Union Pacific last year surprised and frustrated Canby leaders by implementing an annual maintenance fee for the three intersections, totaling over $48,000, which the city will have to pay in perpetuity. A Vancouver, Washington teen was arrested Saturday in connection with the suspicious death of another 16-year-old boy found dead at the French Prairie Rest Area on Interstate 5 northbound between Aurora and Wilsonville. Oregon State Police detectives said the suspect, also a 16-year-old boy, was an acquaintance of the victim. Both boys were from Vancouver. State troopers were called out to the French Prairie Rest Area after 7:30 p.m. on January 16th on a report of a dead body inside a parked vehicle. Investigators at the scene and subsequent examination by the Washington State Medical Examiner's Office determined the victim died from a gunshot wound. Through continued investigation, detectives were able to identify the suspect and obtain a warrant. The suspect was booked into the Clark County Juvenile Detention Center on murder, assault, and unlawful use of a weapon. A Lions fan was arrested Friday for allegedly attempting to set fire to his neighbor's home, days after the Beechey Creek wildfire ravaged the communities of Detroit, Gates. I don't know how to pronounce that one. IDANHA. Detroit Gates. I don't know what that is. I could just pronounce it however I want and then like Adana. Yeah. Idana, okay. And I can't help but laugh at a Lions man. It sounds like he's a anyway. Okay, here we go. A Lions man was arrested Friday for allegedly attempting to set fire to his neighbor's home days after the Beechey Creek wildfire ravaged the communities of Detroit, Gates, Edana, Mill City, and Lyons. William Dale Hobson, 48, was arrested by Oregon State Police after an investigation found he returned to his residence in the 33,000 block of North Fork Road on September 9th, 2 days after the Beechey Creek Fire first burned through the Santiam Canyon and intentionally set fire to his neighbor's home. Neither Hobson's house nor his neighbor's had been damaged by the wildfire, police said in a news release. Hobson is to be arraigned on charges including burglary, criminal trespass, arson, criminal mischief, and reckless endangerment in Marion County Court Monday. Arson investigators with the Oregon State Police, Marion County Sheriff's Office, and State and Fire Department had been investigating the matter since September 14th. Police did not say what might have motivated Hobson. Many felt the impact of Thursday's loss of Cicely Tyson, the legendary actress whose vivid portrayals of strong Black women shattered racial stereotypes in the 1970s. But far fewer could say they ever shared a stage or screen with a civil rights leader and cultural icon. Among this latter group is Canby resident Melinda Lett Dixon Buckles, a retired stage actress and model in her own right, whose film credits include Mr. Holland's Opus and the 1976 film Just an Old Sweet Song, starring Cicely Tyson. Buckles, who was 18 at the time, but playing the part of a 13-year-old girl, shared several scenes with Tyson, then 51 and at the height of her fame, having been nominated for an Oscar and Golden Globe in 1973 for Sounder, and having won two Emmys in 1974 for the autobiography of Miss Jane Pittman. She was an amazing, kind, sweet, and loving woman, Buckles told Now Hear This Canby. I was nervous about the fact that I was so much older than my part, but she made me feel very comfortable with my role. During the filming, Buckles was able to invite her mother, grandmother, and three aunts to the set. They ended up as extras in the movie, she said with a laugh. I really wanted to be in Tyson's presence again one day. I will always treasure these memories and thank Cicely Tyson for it. In her remarkable career that spanned seven decades, which began during a time in which African-American actors had little clout, Tyson broke ground by refusing to take parts that demeaned Black people and urging Black colleagues to do the same. She criticized films and television programs that typecast Black characters as criminals and insisted that African Americans, even if poor or downtrodden, be portrayed with dignity. She died Thursday at the age of 96. Cicely Tyson left a legacy for Black women and men to follow your dreams, but never forget your past or your ancestors and what they went through, Buckles said. Remember history. Most of her roles were Black women in the South or in the days of slavery, and that's huge in our culture. The film tells the story of a middle-class Detroit family who returns to their rural roots. Cicely Tyson stood for all women, she added. Buckles went on to a career as a model and actress in Atlanta, Georgia, and in the city of Karlsruhe, Germany, where she was a stage actress and singer in local productions. She eventually moved to Portland, where she continued singing and eventually landed a small role in Mr. Holland's Opus. For Buckles, Thursday's news was bittersweet, sad yet bringing back happy memories, full of hope. This has taken me back to a time and place that was beautiful in my life, she said. I love Cicely Tyson and will miss her tremendously. For photos and a link to watch Just an Old Sweet Song on YouTube, find the story on our website, canbyfirst.com.
Stay connected to what matters most this winter with unlimited high-speed internet from DirectLink. While things may look a little different this year, as we all work together to keep everyone as safe and healthy as possible, you can be confident that DirectLink's reliable network will keep your video calls, Snapchats, stories, and photos crystal clear and at your fingertips whenever you need them. In 2021, DirectLink is thankful for all of their amazing members and is proud to be your local internet, video, and voice provider for over 116 years. All right, joining us today from Party Central, we've got Steve Fuga, owner of the FOB Tap Room. Hey, Steve, welcome back.
Thanks so much. Good to be here.
Hey, man. How you been doing?
You know, we're hanging in there. We're thankful for all the Canby and elsewhere customers that are coming out to support us, even though it's cold like today.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're doing what we can to hang in there. So.
Yeah. So we haven't checked in with you guys throughout the long haul. So let's just touch briefly. Obviously, you guys were shut down early on from indoor service, but I believe throughout it all, you could do growler service. Is that right, or did that?
Yeah, that's correct. So as the governor mandated, we could do to-go service.
Okay.
So we have a cooler that we sell bottles and cans out of, and then we also were able to do growler fills, after we washed them, of course.
Yeah, cool.
So,
yeah. And now, as people can hear the music, like restaurants are allowed to do some outdoor stuff and some window service. You installed this. Tell us about this thing we're leaning on here.
Yeah, so this here, if you ever drive by my place, I was born and raised in Portland, and don't hold that against me. Right. But
interview over. Sorry,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Correct. So if you've ever gone to places, you know, I wanted to have an outside bar available for people to sit down.
I love it. Yeah.
And we actually were thankfully able to do it right in time last summer.
Okay. So this has been in the works before.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when I bought this place, I wanted to have this kind of two-sided bar, and thankfully, we were able to get it done in the summertime, and perfect timing for us to have this for the outdoor-only experience for customers.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Very, very cool. And people have been enjoying it. You got a TV in there as well. Have you done some games once that started up again, the sports?
Yeah, I mean, if you come down here, usually we did something for the duck game,
okay.
Right, the bowl game. We did that. We have another tent. We can cover this area. We have people watching TV, enjoying the double-sided bar.
Yeah.
And it's just something to, again, make people feel like you're actually still at a bar, even though you can't be inside.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah. A little bit of that atmosphere,
yeah. As
it were. And then you guys took part in the Open Air Canby program.
Yes.
To do a tent here. Tell us a little bit about that and the thinking for wanting to do that. Because obviously, like we talked about, you could always still do the growler service, but I know that is definitely not why you got into this business, right?
No.
And not everything for the type of place you want to run.
Exactly. I mean, anybody who's ever come out to FOB or any other tap room or bar, you go there, or brewery, you go there for the experience to hang out with your friends, your family, and have a good time over a couple beers or ciders. And we had to make a decision to invest in a tent, a larger tent, more weather resistant, that can get us through the, you know, spring and winter that we have. But it's a 15 by 15 tent. It's a high peak tent, as you can see. It's, I think, one of the largest ones that I've seen around. I wanted to make sure there was a ton of airflow going, you know, through the whole place.
Yeah.
My wife's a nurse. Most people that know us know that. So we were really aware of trying to keep things safe and airflow moving, not shut things down too much, but, you know, close them off a smidge so you had enough warmth in there as well.
Yeah.
So it's helped a lot. So it's well lit. We have two heaters in there. We've invested in two more heaters out here when it's not pouring like it is today. But it's just a good time. You can come out, you can sit at the bar and enjoy direct bar service or go into the tent and do that kind of thing.
Yeah, I love it. Keeping people safe, that's great. Well, I don't want to make you cry, Steve, but I do want to ask you, just emotionally, what has it been like? You know, I've stopped by here a few times in the summer to get growlers, and having visited the FOB before when things were normal, it was a punch in the gut.
It was
so quiet and so just dead inside. How's it been emotionally for you handling that?
Yeah, you know, I think as anybody here in town can relate to, it's super emotional. It's tough to see your business that you live and die for go through these times, you know.
Through no fault of your own.
Yeah, I feel bad for all of us business owners, you know, restaurants and bars and whatever. It's like we're all in the same boat. You'd love to see your place actively busy and good times had by all. So it's tough, you know. I mean, we have something called the Mug Club. One of my members there, thank God. So Canby, if you don't know about it, come down to FOB. We have something called the Mug Club. So we tell all of them, I think we have 56 members right now, and we tell them almost every day. I thank them all personally. If you haven't seen me here, I'm here pretty much every day. much to the chagrin of my wife. But I love this place, and I tell them if it wasn't for these Mug Club members, which is an annual membership, we honestly wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
And that's not even an over-exaggeration. It is absolute true, and so it's tough for us to realize, you know, new customers don't want to come down, and I understand why. It's, you know, COVID's tough, and you have to make a decision whether or not you want to go out or not. We make it hopefully easier for people to come out and feel comfortable with what I've done with this outside bar, with our tent. There's a lot of wind in there, so we tell people it's windy and it's cold because we're keeping airflow going.
Yeah.
It's been really tough, but I mean, we're trying to hang in there, and like I tell all these guys, it's, you know, and gals, right? It's like, it's, if it wasn't for these folks, we wouldn't be here, so.
Yeah.
It's been tough, but we appreciate the community support, you know?
Yeah. Tell us more about the Mug Club program, what that is. That was something as well that you were doing before the pandemic.
Yep. So when I bought the place, I wanted to have something that was kind of community-driven, like a Cheers, you know, environment. For those who don't remember that show, a pretty old bar in Boston, right? Just, everybody kind of knew your name.
Yeah.
I wanted to make sure people had that same vibe here, and started that when I bought this place, and we've had new members come on about every quarter. I open more spots as people move out of town or whatever. And it's basically like $125 membership for the year. You get a personalized mug. You get 20-ounce fills for the price of a pint. Before COVID, we would do Mug Club events here at my place. We have a big screen that we drop down. We do movie nights. Kind of a lot of fun stuff like that. So, yeah.
Do you keep the mugs here or they bring them?
Yes, sir. So that was the other thing, too, if they don't know. So when I bought this place, I went through and remodeled the entire bar.
Yeah.
So now there's actually sections in there that are only allotted for the Mug Club mugs.
Cool. Yeah.
And they're all chilled for all of our customers. And so, yeah, we keep them here, and they're here when you walk in. And if you said, hey, Steve, and the people know your name, obviously, hey, Tyler, good to see you.
Yeah.
Right? Your
that
mug number
so cool.
or whatever.
It's behind the main bar.
Yes, sir.
It's a frosted glass, like you said, cooler.
Yes.
And it says Mug Club. That's awesome.
Yep. Yeah, so that's what we do for everybody. Keep all their mugs here, and they're here for folks to use.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Cool. So we're out here. You guys just opened. Already pretty busy. You got some folks here. How does that feel? You kind of touched on the community support and how much that means to you. But folks coming out here, braving the very cold, the rain, just to have a few drinks, enjoy each other's company, and support you guys. How does that make you feel in spite of everything that you guys
do? Despite me freezing, like we tell everybody, dress warm. But it is. It kind of gives you a warm feeling when you see people here, even before we open. Walk up, and I've noticed a lot of new faces, which is kind of cool as a almost 5-year resident here at Canby. A lot of new faces. I think there's a lot of, you know, folks obviously moving into the new housing developments.
Yeah.
So it's just great to see new people come out and support us, even though they are cold and I know they're wet.
Yeah.
But we try to mitigate some of that with having the tent, with what we're doing here with the bar.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just a nice feeling to see people still coming out and doing what they can. As they can, of course, because times are tough for everybody. So,
Can you tell us a little bit without, you know, talk to us like we have no idea about your business because we don't, but tell us a little bit about kind of what some of the craziness has been with, I would imagine, with supply chains and keeping, you mentioned you do some bottles and some cans. Oh, yeah.
One of our customers here just had a toasted marshmallow porter stout there. Sorry, they were super excited. So we toast marshmallows here. So
But I know for a while when the pandemic first started, kegs were an issue.
Yes.
Because bars weren't open.
Yeah.
But you guys were still doing the growler fills and stuff. Have you seen crazy stuff? Has that been hard to manage, or was it not as insane as you might imagine already being in the business that you're in?
No, yeah, I mean, that's another concern I think people should be aware of. I mean, obviously, most people are, let's say, unfortunately, I think, going, and for obvious reasons, you know, they're going to the grocery store to get their beers or ciders or wines, not going out as much. You know, I think all of us businessmen, you know, small business owners can attest to that. But there certainly is a shortage of draft beer, of draft cider. On any given week, I think my son and I, Mitch, who runs the place for me here, we have a shortage of a lot of those things.
Yeah.
And it's not gotten any better, as you'd imagine.
Yeah.
A lot of people are just going away from the draft options, so it gets considerably harder for us to find, you know, kegs to bring in just because they're not doing it. They're all going to the grocery stores.
Yeah.
And so with that comes obviously increased costs. You know, I used to be in the supply chain world, so I know what happens when you've got those things going on. It's like you have less of this, prices go up.
Yeah.
Then I have, you know, I have shorter lead times to bring in items, for example, so I have to sometimes bring in extra stock that I'd rather not bring in.
Yeah.
But I have to. Cause,
yeah.
So it's been more than challenging, put it that way.
Yeah. So yeah, why don't you also tell us just a little bit for folks that aren't familiar about FOB and what you offer. And as well, I do want to ask, because I know it's something that is maybe keeping me away from the beer at times, is that COVID-20. I don't know if that's other things, but you have some lower calorie options or things as well.
Oh my God!
I see you drinking a little bit of a lighter beer.
Yeah, I always. If you ever see me, I drink the lighter beers. Yeah. That's why I haven't had issues with the COVID-20. But so yeah, we offer. If you go to our website, fobtaproom.com, it's got the. I think we have 35 on right now. 35 tap handles.
Yeah.
You're gonna find everything from IPAs to lighter beers to kind of specialty barrel aged beers to specialty ciders. We always have Guinness on tap, which people love. One of my favorites is 805, which was key to me when I came in and bought this place. 805 is a nice Central Coast kind of California beer, but it's super light. So yeah, I mean, we offer just a ton of different stuff.
Ciders, yeah.
Ciders, and we've got a lot of stuff in our cooler as well that is gluten-free options as well. So if you come in and somebody's, you know, got a gluten allergy or something, we've got different things there. We always have a pretty good selection of wines as well that people can enjoy. So we got a little bit of everything for everybody.
You ever do a hard seltzer or anything like that?
Yeah, we have that. We also have, I think we're one of the only or few places that have CBD. CBD on draft, and we have CBD options in our cooler also.
Okay.
So that's kind of a rotating selection that we come up with.
Very cool. All right, last question for you, Steve. I guess, you know, it's dangerous to ask anyone to make predictions after this year we just had, but kind of how you feeling? Are you feeling pretty optimistic for the state of your industry and things coming back this year? Just staying very cautious, or what's kind of your outlook?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think, again, most people who know me, and I've already said it before here in this discussion, my wife's a nurse, so a lot of us have nurses and wives and doctors and in our families, perhaps. You know, I'm hopeful that we, it's cliche, but that we get through this together. I just think people have to be, we're really on top in terms of making sure that there's hand sanitizing stations here at my place. We wipe down all the high-touch surfaces frequently. As soon as people leave a table, we try to get in there and wipe it off.
Yeah.
We're really adamant that people wear masks when they go in and out of our place to order or go into the restroom. All my tables are, you know, proper distance apart just to maintain social distancing. So, I mean, I'm optimistic that if we do what we're supposed to do, we can all get there. It's a challenge, of course, like we all know, standing outside eating or drinking. It's tough. But I think we're going to get there. I think it's going to be, in my opinion, probably hopefully sometime this summer.
Yeah.
You know.
Absolutely.
So.
Well, thanks so much, Steve, for telling us a little bit about what's going on. Thanks for hanging in there and for taking that extra step that you told us all about, even just in your last answer there. But as far as taking those concerns that people have real seriously, for folks listening, obviously it's important to support our unique, independent local businesses in general, but especially those ones that are taking that extra step, doing everything, you know, your tent and everything. I know you worked with the city and followed all those different forms and everything that you had to do. So
it's not easy to do.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Last thing I would add is, yes, as we look at today and it's halfway snowing.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That was snow.
I just want to reiterate thanks to everyone who's going out to all of your small businesses and whether it's to go or especially if you're sitting there freezing. I can tell you as a business owner, and I live here in town, it means a lot to me and my family. We see everybody that we see in our place at the restaurants or the grocery stores. It means a lot to all of us, so again, thank you guys so much.
It is not a day where you look out and you think, you know what would be good? A cold beer right now. So the folks that are here, you know that they're here to support. That's
Yeah. So thank you guys.
Joining us now is Donna Ellison of Ellison Team Homes, a firm serving all across the Portland metro area with three realtors based right here in Canby. Donna, can you tell us how Ellison Team Homes started?
I started in real estate. I grew up with my dad. He was a realtor. Mm-hmm. So I'm a second generation broker, and I grew up with him on weekends. And I learned a lot eventually working with him for several years and then going out on my own. Our family moved to Canby a couple of years ago, but we really didn't know how it was going to go. And within the first probably 3 months of being here, we literally fell head over heels in love with this place. We love the community, the spirit here. The first Christmas at Waite Park, I was literally crying because everybody was walking around saying Merry Christmas and people were drinking hot chocolate, and we got in a carriage ride with the horse, and it was just too much. You just realize it's special here. Real estate's always been my passion. It is my professional love. I enjoy the people, the relationships. So much comes out of kind of the intensity that you spend with people. You're really up in their business for a period of time. And sometimes it's a couple months. Sometimes it's a couple years, sometimes it's a lifetime.
Yeah.
I feel very blessed at this point to have people that have been with me for almost my entire career. Mm-hmm. Clients that have bought and sold maybe 2, 3, 4, or 5 homes. I have one client that's bought and sold 8 homes with me.
Yeah.
3 generations. It's a beautiful business. It makes for a very full life.
Mm-hmm. How can people find you?
How can they not, really? we have a website, www.ellisonteamhomes.com.
Well, thank you, Donna.
Thank you for having me.
Police beat for the weeks of December 1st through the 14th. On December 1st at 12:34 p.m., report of identity theft after a victim was alerted that an unknown person had unsuccessfully attempted to open a credit account using the victim's identity. At 11:56, report of criminal mischief after an individual was seen deliberately breaking glass bottles on a public highway. That sounds like a good time. Why not just let's all go do that and break other people's cars? That's a good one. On December 4th at 9:30 a.m., report of graffiti spray painted on a residential fence. At 10:35 a.m., report of graffiti sprayed painted on a warehouse garage door. 11 a.m., report of graffiti sprayed on an apartment complex. And at 12:05, graffiti sprayed on a residential fence. At 4:18, we also have a hit and run damage to a vehicle in a grocery store parking lot. We're still not sure if the car was moving or not. My suspicions are probably just staying still, because why would a moving car get hit? At 4:22 p.m., report of a vehicle nearly running two bicyclists off the road. The suspect vehicle was located and the driver was arrested for violation of an unrelated release agreement, not for almost killing two bicyclists. Sure. At 3:15 p.m., report of a graffiti sprayed on a brick wall. Good Lord, someone went on a crime spree. At 5:10 p.m., a driver was arrested for DUI on an outstanding Clackamas County warrant and, just icing on the cake, possession of methamphetamine. Finally, at 11:28 p.m., following a traffic stop, the driver was arrested for DUI controlled substance, and the passenger of the vehicle was arrested for a felon in possession of a restricted weapon and identity theft. On December 5th, at 10:56 p.m., response to a report of a person standing on the roadway. The individual was detained and ultimately transported to a medical facility. On December 7th, at 12:12 p.m., report of graffiti sprayed on a retaining wall. At 2:20 p.m., report of an unknown person attempting to enter a residential garage, but was interrupted by a family member. They just wanted some ice cream out of the garage fridge, but luckily they saved all their possessions. That's fun. At 2:32 p.m., report of a hit and run damage to a parked vehicle. On December 8th at 10:04 a.m., report of graffiti sprayed on a fence on 18th Place. At 10:39 a.m., report of graffiti spray painted on the wall of an apartment building. At 11:24 p.m., an uninsured driver was arrested on 8 outstanding warrants and possession of methamphetamine. Because if you're going to break the law, do it while you have people looking for you. On December 11th at 7:03 p.m., a driver was arrested for possession of heroin. December 12th, 4:56 p.m., report of hit-and-run damage to a parked vehicle. And on December 13th at 12:39, report of hit-and-run damage to a parked vehicle. At 8:15 p.m., response to a high single vehicle rollover crash. They were probably avoiding a parked car. Sorry, that was in bad taste. On December 14th at 4:33 p.m., response to a fight between juveniles at a park. And finally, at 10:05 p.m., response to a traffic crash. One driver was cited for driving uninsured.
Hey, Frankie, you okay? You seem kind of down.
Yeah, just bummed. Miss going to the Wild Hair. I know you can still get takeout and all, but it's just not the same.
You know they're open again, right?
What?
Yeah, they've been open for a while now. Don't you cover, like, the news?
Hey, I'm only human, okay?
Okay. Well, I can tell you that the Wild Hare and their amazing staff are thrilled to be open again for delicious meals and fun times. They are strictly following all the recommended safety guidelines, and they have the only covered outdoor patio in Canby, with lots of tables spaced 6 feet apart and umbrellas also spaced 6 feet apart, and fantastic ambiance. And hey, if you're still more comfortable with carryout, they can hook you up there too. Find their menu and other information online at thewildhairsaloon.net or check them out in Canby and Oregon City. Anything to add, Frankie? Frankie? Oh, I guess he left. God, he must have been really hungry.
Now Hear This Canby is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Canby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website, olivia13.com.
Now Hear This Canby is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Canby's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe. And we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.